When one, page 28, when one understands, however, that the real controller is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is freed from the relativities of the world, such as distress, happiness, fear, and impurity. Thus Indra and Dhritarasura not only fought, but also engaged in philosophical discourses. Then they began to fight again. This time Indra was more powerful, and he severed Dhritarasura's remaining arm. Dhritarasura then assumed a gigantic form and swallowed King Indra. Yes, it might be, yes, a theoretical discussion at this point. But Indra, being protected by the talisman known as Narayan Kavacha, was able to protect himself even within Dhritarasura's body. Thus he emerged from Dhritarasura's abdomen and severed the demon's head from his body with his powerful thunderbolt. Severing the demon's head took one complete year to accomplish. So either that means it was a very big head or a very, very strong neck. Shloka Anusharam. Summary of verses. 1 through 17, the battle commences and Dhritarasura instructs Indra. 18 to 22, Indra responds to Dhritarasura's instructions. 23 to 35, Dhritarasura's glorious death. Verses 1 to 17, Sukadeva Goswami said, desiring to give up his body, Dhritarasura considered death in battle preferable to victory. O King Parikit, he vigorously took up his trident and with great force attacked Lord Indra, the King of Heaven, just as Kaitava had forcefully attacked the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the universe was inundated. Verse 1. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Dhritarasura prepared for battle again, thinking, bewilderment about what to do, he will not kill me. Therefore, showing him my prowess, he will become determined and angry. He will then quickly kill me. Right? So, he's already instructed to him philosophically what to do. But having instructed, he was not focused or determined. Right? So now he decides, okay, now he'll take up the battle. And by fighting, then he'll become determined, and then he'll actually, you know, try to kill him. Yes? Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then Dhritarasura, the great hero of the demons, whirled his trident, which had points like the flames of the blazing fire at the end of the millennium. With great force and anger, he threw it at Indra, roaring and exclaiming loudly, O sinful one, thus shall I kill you. Flying in the sky, Dhritarasura's trident resembled a brilliant meteor. Although the blazing weapon was difficult to look upon, King Indra, unafraid, cut it to pieces with his thunderbolt. Simultaneously cut off one of Dhritarasura's arms, which was as thick as the body of Vasuki, the king of serpents. Although one of his arms was severed from his body, Dhritarasura angrily approached King Indra and struck him on the jaw with an iron mace. He also struck the elephant that carried Indra. Thus Indra dropped the thunderbolt from his hand. The denizens of various planets, like the demigods, demons, charnas, and siddhas, praised Dhritarasura's deed. But when they observed that Indra was in great danger, they lamented, alas, alas. Right, so in other words, just how he was fighting, his technique that he could even do that. Right, he threw his trident and nothing, you know, that got defeated. But then he came with a mace and then he actually struck Indra. Right, so they glorified him for that, but then when they saw now Indra was in danger, now they got worried. Indra was practically defeated and was very much ashamed. He dared not pick up his weapon again. Dhritarasura, however, encouraged him, saying, take up your thunderbolt and kill your enemy. This is not the time to lament your fate. Right? Because, you know, he could still fight, but instead he's just feeling he's been defeated rather than just, okay, dropped his weapon, pick it up, fight again. Dhritarasura continued, O Indra, no one is guaranteed of being always victorious, but the original enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and he knows everything. Being dependent and being obliged to accept material bodies, belligerent subordinates are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated. Srila Prabhupada comments. Victory is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As for the subordinate living entities, they fight under the arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A constrictor is Jaya, right? So Jaya is the name for Lakshmi. So Lakshmi is always with Krishna. But with the living entities, unless they're working under Lakshmi, then there's no benefit. Yes? Because, yeah, you think you're the one, you're the doer, and so then, you know what I'm saying? That means there's the element that something's been done wrong, and I, as the soul, have you know, left Krishna's service and become entangled in the material world and think material things. That kind of embarrassment, that's real, because that's connected to the soul. But it doesn't stop action. So therefore, because of that, I should be engaged in the Lord's service. But when you see it stops action, then that generally means that it's on the bodily platform. So, because otherwise, he drops his weapon, get down, pick it up, and then attack him again. Yes. So that's the thing. These things come up, and so they get in the way. But this wasn't necessarily honorable, because the point is, pick up your weapon and fight again. That he's just thinking he's the great Indra, he's become defeated, and, you know, all these kind of things. So, not doing so well. Pride in victory or moroseness in defeat is useless, right? So that's the point. He became morose because his attack had been thwarted, right? So that's useless. One should fully depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is responsible for the victory and defeat of all living entities. The Lord advises, Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayo hyakaramanaha. Perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. Right? So him just sitting there, that's inaction. Better is he does some action. The living entity is ordered to act according to his position. Right? So that's the thing, according to the position, not according to what you feel like. Right? Because feel like, that's how we got ourselves here. Right? We felt like enjoying Krishna's energy, we're here. So that's why it's according to position. You know, it's just like Mother Jashoda, you expect her to do certain things. Right? She's going to be, you know, taking care of the house, cooking for Krishna, arranging his bath, his clothes, his ornaments, you know, being an anxiety, you know, all these different things, right? You don't expect her to, you know, when the cowherd boys are going out, and she's then thinking, yeah, great, you know, and wanting to get out of the house for, you know, some days now, you know, so she, you know, 1 second, she runs back in to get her nightly shoes, you know, so. No? Yes? Yeah. Right? Yeah, so that's the whole point. You don't expect that. So she acts according to her position. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the cowherd boys will do theirs. It's not expected that they'll be, you know, oh, cultured and all this, and oh, you don't want to, you know, wrestle with Krishna because he might get, you know, bruised or dirty or things. No, they wrestle with Krishna. So makes sense. So that's the whole idea, is that everybody has a position. These positions are already fixed by the Lord. Therefore, we act according to the directions given by the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we don't make up our own. Just because we'd like to do something else, we see a benefit we can get from someone else. No. They get that benefit, we get another benefit. Does that make sense? Victory defeat depends on the Supreme Lord. Karman yeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of actions. So this idea, no, I have a right to do someone else's duty, that's not what it says. The right is we do our own duty. So people can't stop you from doing your duty. Right? But the results, those are Krishna's. One must act sincerely according to his position. Victory or defeat depends upon the Lord. Vritrasura encouraged Indra, saying, don't be morose because of my victory. There is no need to stop fighting. Instead, you should go on with your duty. When Krishna desires, you will certainly be victorious. Right? Because in other words, he'll be victorious when Krishna allows. Because up to now, then, you know, Vritrasura's already got in two very good... He's already hit, Indra with a club twice now. And you have to be quite close to hit with the club, generally. You know? Unless you throw the club, then you can be at a distance. But it says, I think he said, hit him and the elephant, right? He also struck the elephant. That means he was holding the club. He hit him and then hit the elephant. Well, if he just hurled it, then generally they will say that. Then if it hit Indra, then but it wouldn't hit the elephant. So the point is to go on. So just because there's defeat now doesn't mean that you won't win. This verse is very instructive for sincere workers in the Krishna consciousness movement. We should not be jubilant or in victory or morose in defeat. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should not be concerned with victory and defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna. Because that's the point. No one else understands them, don't worry about it. If Krishna recognizes it, it's perfect. So the results will come according to what Krishna, how Krishna wants. Does that make sense? So that's why we shouldn't worry. Vritrasura continued, all living entities and all the planets of this universe, including the presiding deities of all the planets, are fully under the control of the Lord. They work like birds caught in a net, who cannot move independently. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Time, operating according to good or bad karmas, is the cause of defeat or victory for you, who are dependent on karma. Right? So time is moving. Right, so all the different planets are there, all the different times, the muhurtas, you know, the days, the month, all these different things. They all have their auspicious and inauspicious, because they're moving according to time, and they all have their own time frame. They overlap in different ways. So the way they overlap creates good and bad. So how time is moving things, that's how it's going to happen. If the planets are going, so it'll be one way, it'll be one way. If it goes another, it's another. But we are always engaged in devotional service. So it's not that, oh, when things are good, then I'll do devotional service. When things are bad, I won't. No, we always do devotional service. Time does its thing. We do ours. Right? Two different things. Srila Prabhupada adds, the difference between the suras and the asuras is that the suras know that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the asuras cannot understand the supreme will of the Lord. Right? They can understand laws of nature, to some degree, but they can't understand the will of the Lord, why the laws of nature are there. So, yes? In this fight, Vritrasura is actually the Sura, whereas Indra is the Asura, because Vritrasura understands actually the will of Krishna, that Indra wins the fight and Vritrasura is defeated. But Indra can't see that, so he's been defeated at this point in the battle, and he thinks that's it. So he's not actually seeing the Krishna's will. No one can act independently. Rather, everyone acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, victory and defeat come according to the results of one's karma. And the judgment is given by the Supreme Lord. Right here, one's karma means your endeavor, your activities, not necessarily means your previous results of action. Right? Because we're working under Krishna karma. So Krishna karma means you perform activities to please Krishna, and you get the results of that according to Krishna's will. Does that make sense? So it applies both here to the devotees and the non-devotees. So that's why we can say it's my karma. It's the results of my endeavors to please Krishna. Okay. And the judgment is given by the Supreme Lord. Karma, karmana daiva ne treina, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:31.1. Since we act under the control of the Supreme according to our karma, no one is independent. From Brahma down to the insignificant ant. Whether we are defeated or victorious, the Supreme Lord is always victorious because everyone acts under his directions.
it. So we maybe are not, but we're working under his direction. So that means he's independent, so he'll always be victorious. Dhritarasura continued. Our sensory powers, mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality, and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, immortality, immortality, gods will be considered immortal, just means they live longer. So immortality means you live longer, mortality means you live shorter. Right? So we work on the principle of mortality, they work on the principle of immortality, though it's just a little longer. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. O king, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. Srila Prabhupada writes, this is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5.142. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arsha Britya Jare Jaiche Na'a Nachaya Se Taiche Kare Nitya Nritya. Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. We are all servants of Krishna. We have no independence. We are dancing according to the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But out of ignorance and illusion, we think we are independent of the Supreme Will. So we have a desire to serve Krishna. Krishna arranges that it works that way. So we continue that desire, then it works out nicely. If we don't continue that desire, then we get distracted, and then think we go in a different direction. Does that make sense? So we always keep focused on Krishna, how it's unfolding, we make our endeavor. That's why we perform our duties. What's the point? Because it's being carried out by the Supreme Lord himself. You know, or through his agency, his energies. So we could say, well, what am I doing? Why do I have to do my duties? But the whole point is what do you focus your desire on? Since that's what we have, is desire, whether we're engaged in Krishna's service or not. So by performance of duties in connection with the Lord, it focuses on Krishna's service. So performance of duties keeps us active. Otherwise, the tendency is we stop being active. Yes? No? Yes. Yes. Yeah, well, it just means when you get to there, by Krishna's arrangement, you're always focused. But that means we're always focused. Then you'll naturally come to that platform of bhava. Or you're always trying to be focused. You may not always be, but that's your determination. So Krishna awards that you're always focused. But you have to want it. So you perform your duties, then you'll always be engaged in activities. Right? So we want to perform our duties to please Krishna. That way we're always engaged in activities in devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the duties are there. Otherwise, how do we define what we should do? So if I don't have attachment, then there's no material reason for me to do anything. But then the problem comes that I have to do something for Krishna. So what will I do? Since it's not based on my attachment, it has to be based on what would be Krishna's desire. So, therefore, a person in my position, what would Krishna want me to do? You understand? That's the whole thing. So, that's how we define it, yes.
How can we know? Sometimes they don't know what Krishna wants me to do. Sometimes.
But what do you mean by what Krishna wants you to do? What are the options that you're supposed to be doing? It means according to Dharma, what would be the thing to do? No, but what's your duty? He's already said what he wants you to do is do your duty in connection with him. Not that I'm sitting here and you know, what should I do with my life? No, what are the duties for your life? What's your position? According to Varna and Ashram, what are your duties?
Sometimes
Oh, whether to wear the blue sari or the green sari. You know, that's an important one. So you pick the blue one today. Right?
Yeah. Sometimes you can see if you are busy. Like sometimes when Mataji with her husband, but her husband doesn't allow her to go to Mango Arki to miss. So
either get up Arki, either get up earlier or don't go. That's another option.
No, they have. Means if she follow her husband, she stay in the house and cooking, washing, cleaning, and no other devotional service.
No other, absolutely nothing else. Means you can't remember Krishna while you're cooking. You can't chant your rounds. You can't offer your obeisances to Krishna. You know, so man manabha mad pakto mad yaji mam namaskru, none of those you can do.
But if she wants to do something more, that's
okay,
for
that's
Krishna.
There. Yeah, but that point is this is the scope. Within that scope, you can connect yourself to Krishna at all times. You know what I'm saying? One can. If one wants to do more, great, if the opportunity comes up, you take it. But if it doesn't, then within that scope, you be Krishna conscious.
Some people, they say you should follow.
The point is everybody's got their opinion, which is good, nice. They're thinking, right? Brain synapses are, you know, snapping and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the point is that one can be Krishna conscious in any situation. Now, let us take, for example, Prahlad Maharaj. Was he going to Mangal Arti?
No.
Was he going to any Arti at all?
Yeah. His father's
Arti. Yes, his father's Arti. So some Arti was there, right? You know, so a lamp was being waved, so yeah. Yeah. Jaya, jaya,
Hiran
Yakashi.
He always fixed his mind with Krishna.
Yeah, so you can't do that? These other things are to help us do that, and they're the recommended processes. But the point is one can always remember Krishna in any situation. So you can remember Krishna even if one's not doing all those, what you would consider would be an ideal standard.
Well, sometimes the husband said as object,
depends. Do you want to maintain the family life, or?
Or you want to know your devotional life?
Because as has been pointed out, you can really save a lot on shampoo. No, shampoo's expensive, right? Shampoo, conditioner, you know, get something good. See, catch the principle here. The principle is you can always be Krishna conscious, no matter what the situation. It's whether you want to be or not. That's another thing. No, catch that point first. It's just like this. Let us say we're discussing on being Krishna conscious while cooking. Okay? So because we're discussing Krishna consciousness while cooking, we're not discussing that, well, I want to cook this, but my husband says I have to cook that. We're not discussing that.
Yeah.
We're discussing that you can be Krishna conscious when you're cooking. So now, the point is you can be Krishna conscious. Now it's just a matter of what's the environment you're in to be Krishna conscious. So there's recommended environments, yes. But if that's not available, you can still be Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? This is a principle. take that, then you can deal with detail. But if every time, no, but this detail, that detail, then the point is we'll never get anywhere. You know? You can be Krishna conscious while cooking, but I don't have any tomatoes. Yes, but you can still be Krishna conscious. But my husband doesn't like tomatoes. Yes, but you can be Krishna conscious while you're cooking for Krishna without tomatoes. No, but the tomatoes make it taste so much better. No, but you can be Krishna. Remember Krishna, trying to make it as good as you can with what you have. No, but you know, why won't you let me use tomatoes? Other people say tomatoes are okay. You understand? This is how the conversation's been going up to now. Does this make sense? Point is you stay at the home all day, never leave your house once, you can still be Krishna conscious. That's the point. Okay? That's the first thing. So you can be Krishna conscious. Now, if that's the ideal situation or not, that's a different discussion. You understand? Means that the standard sadhana that's there is recommended for a reason. So now if you can include that, that's even better. The point is, being Krishna conscious, that's what you want to be. Does that make sense? Now, what about Mangal Artiks at home? Is that okay? Yes or no? Yes. So then you can't go to Mangal. You have your own Mangal Artiks. So instead of having to watch, you know, the fuzzy-faced guy that's been doing it, you know, for the last 25 years, you can do it yourself. You know? So, you know, all this thing is, you know, how come the ladies can't do the artique? Why can't they sing? You can! Here's your opportunity, right? Here's the equal opportunity, yes, every day. You know, so it's like that, you know. So. That's what I'm saying. So you can do it. So the point is that's the first position. In other words, take it from whatever I'm in now, I can be Krishna conscious. That's it, finish. So then, therefore, I'm comfortable. Now, if I can make it nicer by going to the temple and this and that, let's see if we can add them. But if you can't add them, it still works. You understand?
Some people, not as if they want to be a devotee, but their family, their husband, their family, they want to, maybe they have four principles.
That's another thing. No, the point is remembering Krishna, what has that got to do with them? Right? I'll ask you a question. In your country, do they have a special machine or something that they can tell what you're thinking? So if you're cooking, while you're cooking, right? We want to get a baseline here. Like that, yeah. So when you do the base, I make sure you throw the chilies in at that time, because then the machine will spike, so then, you know, then they can't tell. You understand? You can be Krishna conscious anyway. Mirabai is at her house. No one ever knew she was a devotee. It's only later they found her diary. Then they found out that she was a devotee. Point is you're just following your duties. You don't have to eat it. You know what I'm saying? They sit down at the table, the guy's just, you know, I'd say, I'm not sure what the proper word would be, but we use the term scarf. You just put it in the bowl, it's gone, right? You know, it's like they inhale it. The guys, right? Put the stuff in the bowl, gone. Right? You know, whether it's nice or not, telling you it's nice or not, these don't come, they don't even compute. Right? And then they'll get up and go away and sit down in front of the television and you know, play with the remote. So you eat afterwards. So you eat whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? And most of the time they don't care if you cook other things as long as they get what they want. Right? I know one family where there's an altar of Buddha and there's an altar of Krishna. And the wife does puja for both. So as long as the husband's Buddha altar gets worship, he's good. You want to do this on the side? Hey, he doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? You can be Krishna conscious. You know what I'm saying? Catch that, because otherwise if you want to get down into detail, we can get into detail, but it gets grungy. And so if you're ready for grungy, we can do it. But it's not like, oh, the really, oh, this, oh. So we're talking about, you know, what? 11th canto, Pingala, she's a prostitute. She's self-realized. It's a job. Not a good job. No one ever says that Pingala's got a great job. Right? So the women in China, they force them to gamble, right? They take them out to the casino and, you know, they got
to... Yeah, the husband forced them to meet.
The point is, do they force them to gamble? Yes or no? These are easy questions. Don't stop answering because it's not going the way you want the conversation to go. Okay? Do they force the wife to gamble? Take them down there, put them at the blackjack table and say, play. Here's 10,000 bucks, now blow it. Right? Talking some serious husbands here. You know? Are they doing that? Okay. Intoxication. Are they getting out the hookah or, you know, putting a few lines of coke on the table there? You know, then, okay. So then we're talking about illicit sex. And is it with someone else? Right? The husband's bringing some other men into the house and saying, go for it. Bringing other ladies in the house and saying, go for it. No. So it's with the husband. So technically it's not really illicit sex. It's not ideal. It's not a sexual relationship that's going to be progressive, but it's not illicit sex. You understand? It's not the ideal standard, but it's still one's own husband. You understand? Okay, and the meat eating, this is the first time ever here, they sitting there, you know, getting the, you know, wiped down and stuffing meat into their mouth. You know, the point is if you're comfortable cooking and doing whatever and he's eating, he doesn't care what you eat. They just want to feel that they have control, that they're a man and, you know, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? So if you just give them that, it works. Because anyway, in Chinese cooking, even though they eat everything in the air except the kite, everything on the land except the car, and everything in the water except the boat, most of it's not is rice and vegetables. And there's a little bit of meat. We're not talking here. We're not talking the Chinese are sitting down with a, you know, T-bone steak or a sirloin or something like that. That's Americans. That's Europeans. And even that's pretty much British. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, work it out. You know what I'm saying? These are standards that we follow because these help in devotional service. And if we have the facility, we take them easily, happily. But if we don't have them, we don't. Here, Vritrasura is in the body of an asura. He's a demon, you know, and the demon who's against the demigods. Now, who devotee wants to do that? But this is what party's got, so he's playing his role. But he's doing it remembering Krishna. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. You remember Krishna. Husband, who he's remembering, who knows? Then that's another alternative, but that's not the immediate point, because how many ladies can live alone? How many can live alone?
So if she can live alone, maintain her devotional life?
And if you can do it, fine, but alone means the next 50 years alone, doesn't mean the next 6 months alone. The point is you've missed the whole point of the discussion. Because you're saying, does she stay married or not? That was your question. That wasn't the that's not what we're answering. We're discussing being Krishna conscious in a situation that's not ideal. Dhritarashtra is not in an ideal situation. He's Krishna conscious. Indra is in an ideal situation. He's not Krishna conscious. That's what we're discussing. That's what Sixth Canto is talking about. Your question is just if the husband, you know, says that you stop, can I leave him or not? That's your question. Then why don't you just say that in the beginning instead of playing around? You understand? Because whatever I try to answer, you always try to bring it back to that. No but, no but, no but. And I'm saying, and understand this point. Oh, of course you can be Krishna conscious, but can I leave my husband? The things, you can be like this and that. You're trying to always remember Krishna. It's not about whether you leave husband or not. No, but can I leave the husband? We're talking about being Krishna conscious. So as I said, then it's like people get married because there's this element of physical, emotional interaction. It's kind of part of the deal. Right? And when everybody's young, everyone thinks it's great. And when they get older, they kind of get bored of it. Right? Okay. So, because the emotional element is connected to it, because the husband is when you're younger, it's exciting and it's new and he's really focusing on the girl and it's all about the girl, therefore the girl is really happy to get physical with him. Then as they go on in time, he's taking things for granted, he's not really focusing on her, he's focusing more on himself. Right? Then the girl's not as interested in being very intimate with the husband. That's because he's not performing his duties properly. Does that make sense? Because when everybody talks about this, they don't talk about it in the first few months or years of marriage. No one's saying they just got married and, oh, but the guy is, you know, always got his hands all over me. You know, what am I supposed to do? We always hear this, that ladies have been around for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, then they bring this up. But what was going on, if they look back, what was going on in the beginning of marriage? Was it just, you know, was it exactly the way it was now? Nobody touches anybody? Is that the way it was? How about before they got married? How much touching went on before the marriage? So many ladies complain, oh, the husband's into this, husband's into that, and says, well, where did he get the idea from that he could do that? Because that's what they did before marriage. So the girl uses these things to get the guy's attention and then afterwards complains, oh, he's just into doing anything. So in other words, don't do anything or use anything that you're not willing to do that for the next 30 years. And if people are Krishna conscious and they start dropping these things before that, better. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that when we like to keep the guy around, then we, you know, get into things. And when we don't like to keep around, he's not doing so great. We don't, you know, he's not impressing us. So then, what about, you know, can we leave the husband? Can we this, that? How many ladies have left their husband and then end up with another one? And then ending up with that other one, did that one go fabulous and perfect? No. Same. Maybe by the third or fourth, some learn, some never do. Elizabeth Taylor never learned. You know, unless the last one, was the eighth one Richard Burton? Because he was before, and then she dumped him, married someone else, and then went back to him at some point, but I don't know how early in the game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot more here at work than just, oh, we're breaking the front, because everybody, you know, makes a thing, what's the four regulative principles? But they only discuss the four regulative principles when it's how they don't like it to go. But when it's the way they like it to go, I don't think they discuss the four regulative principles. You know what I'm saying? In other words, women who are very happy in their physical relationship with their husband aren't bringing up the point of the four regulative principles. Only when they don't like to be touched by the guy, then they bring it up. You understand? So that's what he's saying, is that we can't base it on these secondary things. Because these secondary, you have to actually yourself sincerely look at it and what would be the best situation. Right? But the point that we can be Krishna conscious at any time, whether it's ideal or not, that we can do. That we have the control over. The other things, then you have to see what will work. Try. If it works, great. And if it doesn't, then you adjust. You understand? Yeah. Right? What's the problem with illicit sex? What's the actual problem? Why that? Why not, bowling in your living room, or playing golf in the bedroom, or cricket in the bathroom? Or, you know, I mean, this, why that rule? No? Because the four regular principles are the ones that distract one the most from Krishna consciousness. Right? Because those things are the things that intensify sense gratification or emotions or feelings to such a degree that you tend to forget about Krishna. Right? The same girl that she couldn't chant her rounds because she was so absorbed in thinking of this brahmachari who she was having an illicit sexual connection with. X amount of years later, dumped the guy. So is it really the situation? No. Illicit sex is dropped because it is such a distracting thing. That's why we don't get involved. Because it's about the senses. Where's Krishna involved in it? Right? But one can remember Krishna at any time. You understand? Because the point is if you can remember Krishna during licit sex, why can't you remember during illicit sex? There's a difference? You understand? The activities are different. Illicit sex, they're different. You understand? So if you can remember, you can always remember. Does that make sense? So we're in no way saying that it's good. What we're saying is, as Vritrasura is pointing out here, we can always be God conscious. The situation does not actually change whether God... We're taking it, I can't be God conscious in this situation. You can be. It's not ideal. You understand? Just like let's say I give you four bricks, a few sticks of wood, and a tin can, and say, cook for Krishna. Can it be done? Is that an ideal arrangement? No. It can still be done. But Shastras recommend you have the nice kitchen and all set up and everything like that. Does this make sense? That's the point. Now within that, you analyze for yourself, according to your position and everything, is that situation good or, okay? Or is there some need of some adjustment? Because has the husband ever been asked why he doesn't like his wife going to Mangalarti? Has that question been brought up? Okay, he wants to. Okay, that's the whole point. He says you should follow, but then why doesn't he control by saying you have to go to Mangalarti? That's also a way to control. So what is it that's not in control that he feels that he has to say you can't go to Mangalarti? So that must mean there's a lot of things the wife is doing without his direction, and so therefore he's trying to find some control somewhere. He's looking in the wrong place. It's a stupid choice. So then why not look at that? What else is the wife doing that he doesn't appreciate? And then if it's, let's say there's five things she's doing he doesn't appreciate, and so therefore he's saying no Mangalarti. Why not do those other five things and then go to Mangalarti? No, but the problem is we want our cake, we want to eat it. So we want to do whatever we want according to our whims, and we want Shastra to back us up. So we have to be very careful about that. You understand? So in other words, be less whimsical in other areas, and, you know, in other words, look at where you get, if you get more profit out of, let's say, going off to visit friends for, you know, 3 hours, you know, on your, you know, or going to Mangalartik. So if you get more out of Mangalartik, go to Mangalartik and stay at home instead of going out with friends. You understand? As an example. Does that make sense? You figure out, because it means one must know there's more to it than just Mangalartik. You live with somebody 24/7, you kind of figure out a few things. Right? So just figure out what are the areas that they want to control that you don't let them control. And so because of that, it's created a reaction of no Mangalarti. So let them control in some other areas, and then they'll let go, and then they'll let you go to Mangalarti. As long as they feel they're in control, what do they care? You know, or if you're at your friend's and he says, can you come home now? No, I'm busy, this and that, I have my own life, whatever. Then just come home. Okay, it was fun for 3 hours, now go home. Do you understand? Because then that was nice, but it's better to be in a house that's peaceful. Do you understand? In other words, use your brain. You have to remember, women are smarter than men. Use it. You know what I'm saying? You yourself have to know what your values are, because right now you're not clear. You're saying all the devotional activities, but that's only because you've decided you want to do them, which is good. But there's so many other things that you're doing that then therefore upsets the family. So you have to figure out, well, okay, then what of all the things that I do, what's the most important? And then you figure out these things. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, Vritrasura continued. The three Purushas, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kirodakshaya Vishnu, the material nature, the total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, the intelligence, and consciousness, cannot create the material manifestation without the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so all of these, none of them is happening without Krishna, because Krishna desires, therefore, the Purushas, the material nature, the total material, you know, the material nature is Prakriti, total material energy, the Mahatattva, the false ego, the five material elements, material senses, the mind, the intelligence and consciousness, so all the 24 elements and the Purushas, the super souls of this, they can function because it's Krishna's desire. Means, of course, they're all Krishna, but it's because of his desire that it's all happening. Right? Karanodakshaya Vishnu does what Krishna wants, because he is Krishna. Why won't he do what he wants? What he wants, right? It's just like generally, if you're left on your own, you do what you want, right? So Krishna, being fully independent, he always does what he wants. So therefore, he has come as Karanodakshaya Vishnu because he wants to. So that's why Karanodakshaya Vishnu doesn't function separately than Krishna's pleasure, because he is Krishna. Okay? And the material elements and all that, they're all his energy. That definitely functions under his direction. Footnote 8. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Mahavishnu, the creator of Mahatattva, or his expansions, cannot carry out the creation alone. What to speak of Prakriti and the elements? So, he can't carry out because he's an expansion of Krishna. So he's functioning, because of the original position of Krishna. Krishna is the complete whole. And then they're manifesting they're complete, but manifesting a certain position. Does that make sense? You're sitting on your couch, right? It's a good couch. It's a comfortable couch. There's enough pillows and everything. It's clean. It's nice. You know? Yes, very Upanishadic event. Then you remember that the dishes need to be washed. Right? And why should the dishes be washed? Because you like a clean house. You like things ordered. Right? So, therefore, you sit, while sitting there on your comfortable couch, you expand yourself. And you go into the kitchen and wash the dishes. Now, who's washing the dishes is yourself. But why is yourself washing dishes? Because yourself sitting on the couch wants the dishes washed. Right? So it's you, you're doing what you want, but at the same time, it's because of the original position, you know, of the...
But if it's you,
I say, what do you call it? The couch lotus.
Can you enjoy in that situation? Because it's you who was in the dishes, and you who sit in
it. What's the problem with sitting on your couch and having to get up and go wash the dishes? What's the problem? Yes, so the point is you're not leaving the couch. You're sitting on the couch and washing the dishes. And therefore, you like washing the dishes because then you don't have to leave the couch. You understand?
Huh?
Yes, see? Right? And the fun part is you could be washing the dishes. You could be out at the market getting things for tomorrow. You could be on the phone calling up all those people you really wish you didn't have to call. All that could be going on in all your different expansions. And you can be sitting there, you know, being the, you know, perfect couch lotus. But they won't do as good a job as you. And you don't mind because you're doing things for yourself. People don't mind doing things for yourself.
Hence the saying, I wish there was more of me.
Yes, yes. Yeah, if you want something done right, do it yourself, right? So. Suddenly, yeah? Good work.
Just think about it.
Yeah, think about this next time. A foolish, senseless person, right? So if Mahavishnu cannot carry out the creation alone, then let alone the elements, which are just energy, and also that unconscious energy. A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruit of actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger. This is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself creates and devours the living entities through other living entities. And so everything that happens to us comes through another living entity, good or bad. We're thinking, I'm independent, I'm doing everything myself. There's nothing that you get that's not coming through someone else. It's always coming through others. Because, you know, we're not alone. So that's everything comes through another. Like, I had a good lunch today, okay? But where did the lunch come from? Okay? Was the rice not another living entity? What about the, you know, what about the potatoes? You understand? So that means everything is another living entity. You understand? So that's the thing is, we're not independent. So Krishna, he defines how everything will act. So he's the one controlling everything. He's controlling it, he's creating it, he's maintaining, he's destroying it. We're thinking, I'm doing this. But actually, we're not. Is that? Huh? No? Question? No. Okay. Just similar. Whenever that thing is going to happen. Time for a question. Okay.
I have a question about when the Lord stands to fulfill his own desires, he could have done it in just, I mean, in the first place, he being this free controller and unlimited, he could have done it in 1 second, 1 moment. Or not even that. I mean,
yeah, but that's yoga. That's mystic potencies. He has that. But the point is it's more fun when it's personal. Because mystic potencies are impersonal. It just happens. But how did it happen?
So the main point is...
It's just fun. Like this. Have we ever... Maybe this is a stretch, but we'll try it. Let's say, has anybody ever washed dishes and actually found it was fun or nice or satisfying? Right? You know, you've done something, you've cleaned, it's come out well, you've done your job, everything looks very nice. So, therefore, Krishna doesn't, he's not lazy, so he doesn't feel bad about washing the dishes. You know, sorry.
Yeah.
Means because there is that personal aspect there that a person has done, interacted with people. Well, mystic potencies, then they can happen, but they just happen. Then where's the taste? Where's the interaction? You know, I mean, we talk about it because we don't have them, so it would be great. But you never had, what could I call it? How much trouble does the lady in Bewitched get into? Right? Because she just does things. And then she has to spend the whole rest of the show trying to work it out in a human way. So therefore, you just do it in a human way in the first place, then everything goes better. Right? If you're out, you're on your own, out in the middle of the desert and all that, then, you know, you need a fire, you just start a fire and cook lunch, and it's fine. But when you have people and you interact, then without the mystic, it's so much nicer. Does that make sense?
Aspect or not, but is the aspect of renunciation one of the opulence of the Lord? One of the opulence?
Yes, renunciation is an opulence, yes. But that's why then he can get up and wash the dishes, because he's detached. Mm-hmm. But his mentality is he's detached, he gets up and washes the dishes, but he's still sitting there on the couch. So in other words, when he washes the dishes, he's just focused on that he's doing that, and then he can taste both of them.
Srila Prabhupada comments: according to the conclusion of the philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa, one's karma, previous fruit of activity, is the cause of everything, and therefore there is no need to work. Those who arrive at this conclusion are foolish. When a father creates a child, he does not do so independently. He is induced to do so by the Supreme Lord. As the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannidhishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Unless one receives dictation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits within everyone's heart, one cannot be induced to create anything. Therefore, the father and mother are not the creators of the living entity. According to the living entity's karma, fruit of activities, he is put into the semen of the father, who injects the living entity into the womb of the mother. Then, according to the body of the mother and father, yata yoni yata bijam, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer or enjoy. Right, because it's through that medium, right? So the living entity is not coming from the father and mother, but because it comes through the medium of the father and mother as a body, the body is produced by the father and mother, and so therefore it'll have the nature of the combination of the father and the mother. Right? Does that make sense?
Jiva is attracted to...
Yes, because of mentality, because of consciousness. So the jiva has a particular consciousness. The mother and father have a particular consciousness that matches. That's why they appear together. But because they're individual living entities, then that's why they still have different personalities and different, you know, interests in that. So they may be closer, they may be farther apart. But there's something in common why they're together. But that commonality may be more or less, so they may be a great family unit or may not be such a great family unit. You know, you have both examples. You know, you have families that are really close, everything's nice, they all like to do the same things, and other families where every member of the family has nothing, that can't relate, they can't even figure out why they have anything to do with this family. But there's something enough in common that they all think, why am I here? That's why they're all there, because they all have the same thought, why am I in this family? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that was enough to bring them together. So. is that okay?
Why am I a family?
Because everybody in the family thinks, why am I a family? So there's community. They all think, why am I here? No? Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. They're a unique bunch. You know, it's just like all these other generations, you don't even necessarily know their name. Everyone's heard of baby boomers. But X, Y, Z, you know, double X, you know, information, you know, whether this now and again pops up, but it's not regularly things. There's blogs just dedicated to baby boomers. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's just somehow or another, they're a very unique bunch. You know? So, point is whatever they're into, the whole rest of the world should be into. So if they're into Krishna consciousness, then the rest of the world's going to be Krishna conscious. So that's the advantage of this, like that. But the problem is if they get distracted from Krishna consciousness, they think the rest of the world should be distracted also. So that's the weak point. Okay, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer and joy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the original cause of one's birth. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the cause of one's being killed. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent. The true conclusion is that the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because we get attached to all these things, then we think that we're part of it. But actually, it's just the modes of nature carrying it out under the direction of the Supreme. So one could say, well, why is this all this happening? But that's because that's what we desire. It's happening because he sanctions, and so it happens. But it's still by his arrangement. He's the one that's doing it. We're not the doers. We can say we're the desirers, but then we should, then Vritrasura is saying, then desire Krishna consciousness or desire Maya. So he desires Krishna consciousness, and Indra, even though he's Krishna conscious, has a proclivity towards Maya. Vritrasura continued, just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them by his mercy. That's right. If you're saying, at death you lose everything, whether you like it or not, and in victory you gain everything. So the point is that that's not in our control. We simply make our endeavor. Right? So if Indra just sits there, where's the glory? How is the results going to come? Since the results are given by the Lord. So the Lord says, you do this activity, you can get these results. You want those results, make the endeavor. But that those results will come, that's by the arrangement of the Lord anyway. Right? So Indra's stopped his duty. So he's not performing activities. So because of that, he's not going to develop. While Vritrasura, we see he's quite active. He's either fighting or he's preaching. Right? He's always, from the beginning, he's been busy. And then Indra comes out, they're proud, it's going his way, and then he stops, and then he freaks out, and then he gets inspired again, and he freaks out again. So it's not consistent. In other words, his devotional service is not stable. He's not on the platform of Nishtha. Right? That's why he says a Kanistha, because it's not stable. Right? But Vritrasura, we can see, he's fixed in devotional service. So whether he's winning or losing, he's still Krishna conscious. Right? That's what we can do. So that means it depends upon the Lord. Therefore, be focused on the Lord. Then whatever is going to come anyway. We just do our duties. Yes.
Previously you were said the point of Asura and Asura.
Yes.
Would it be just to be too much to say that whenever we are not totally Krishna conscious, then we automatically become Asura?
It means it's the Asuric, maybe the Asuric tendency. No, these are pointed out. You see, is how often this Prabhupada put it into this context. No. So that's the point, is it's not, it's just used when it needs to be used. The general point is that, you know, we're trying to perform devotional service without karma or jnana. Right? You know, we don't say without any asuric tendencies. Those are only used to make the point very clear. Always sits in that same spot. So it's just like, yeah, he's a session. He's just, I mean, everybody's got this spot, right? Yes, yes. Who was here first? Srila Prabhupada comments, it is not good to be falsely puffed up saying that by one's own effort one has become opulent, learned, beautiful, and so on. All such good fortune is achieved through the mercy of the Lord. From another point of view, no one wants to die, and no one wants to be poor or ugly. Therefore, why does the living entity, against his will, receive such unwanted troubles? It is due to the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one gains or loses everything material. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent on the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Lord. There is a common saying in Bengali that the Lord has 10 hands. This means he has control everywhere, in the 8 directions and up and down. He wants to take everything away with his 10 hands. We cannot protect anything with our 2 hands. Similarly, if he wants to bestow benedictions upon us with 10 hands, we cannot factually receive them all with our 2 hands. In other words, the benedictions exceed our ambitions. So that's the point. He can take away more, he can give more. So that's the position. So if he's pleased, then so much happens nicely. If he's not pleased, it doesn't. And what is pleasing and not pleasing? Basically, how much we are, you know, how you say, appreciate the association of devotees and are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's the main thing. Trying to do things for Krishna, that's the main thing. Right? The conclusion is that although we do not wish to be separated from our possessions, sometimes the Lord forcibly takes them away from us, and sometimes he showers such benedictions upon us that we are unable to receive them all. Therefore, either in opulence or in distress, we are not independent. Everything is dependent upon the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sweet will means he's not under any control himself, other than the affection of devotees. But there's not, we're under the modes of nature, so it's not about sweet control there. Because we don't have, and under the modes are under the Lord. So only the Lord actually is just as he likes. Right? But it's not whimsical. That's why he gives Shastra. We want to do everything whimsically, but he shouldn't be whimsical. But the point is that if we're whimsical and he's not, where's the common point of relationship? So because he's not whimsical and we're not whimsical, that's where relationship is. Because if he's whimsical and we're whimsical, we still don't have relationship. Right? So it can only be he follows the rules, we follow the rules. But that doesn't get in the way of spontaneity, because spontaneity means following the rules willingly, with inspiration. It doesn't mean whimsical. Ritusura continued, since everything is dependent on the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead, one should be equal poised in fame and defamation, victory and defeat, life and death, in their effects represented as happiness and distress,
One should maintain oneself in equilibrium without anxiety. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of the material nature, and who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by these qualities. Srila Prabhupada comments. As the Lord explains in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param. One who is transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. End quote. When one attains self-realization, the Brahma-Bhuta stage, one knows that whatever happens during his life is due to the contamination of the modes of material nature. The contamination means that's just what's happening in the environment, or for us it will mean just what's left over about our attachment to the modes or a particular combination of the modes that we always act under, therefore we're getting these kind of reactions. Right? Because certain modes carry certain results. Right? And no combination of the modes is just perfect. They'll be nicer and there'll be more trouble, but everything always has a problem. Indra, the demigods are basically in goodness. They still get trouble now and again. Right? Not every day, but occasionally. But when it's good, when they get it, it's good. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's probably has been a rare occasion where, you know, you've been woke up in the morning because there's a Vritrasura in your kitchen. Right?
Yesterday,
yes. Yeah, except for the, how you say? Well, maybe we should adjust that. Yes, it's an occasional thing. It's only during the 4 days of vacation. Then there's a Vritrasura in the kitchen. But other than that, then we're good. Right? So in other words, we don't have this much trouble, but we don't have that much happiness either. So actually, that's why the earth is considered so good, because you have facilities, but it's not that great. Right? And, you know, we have troubles, but it's not that crazy either. It works. The living being, the pure soul, has nothing to do with these modes. In the midst of the hurricane of the material world, everything changes very quickly. But if one remains silent and simply observes the actions and reactions of the hurricane, he is understood to be liberated. Right? So in other words, because he's just observing, then he's not disturbed. You know, it's like, what it called? There's peace at the center of the storm. The real qualification of the liberated soul is that he remains Krishna conscious, undisturbed by the actions and reactions of the material energy. Such a liberated soul is always jubilant. He never laments or aspires for anything, since everything is supplied by the Supreme Lord. The living entity, being fully dependent on him, should not protest or accept anything in terms of his personal sense gratification. Right? So we're not taking it for ourselves or protest that, you know, why am I getting this? So in other words, it's never about ourselves. It's always about Krishna. So we belong to Krishna. How we'll serve Krishna, how we'll connect to Krishna, that's not the point. Yes. Rather, he should receive everything as the mercy of the Lord and remain steady in all circumstances. Right, so that steadiness, that's the nishtha. Vritrasura continues. Right? Can we learn how to become fixed in devotional service? See, everything is Krishna's mercy. Right? So it doesn't affect us. So we're always absorbed in Krishna. Vritrasura continued, O my enemy, just look at me. I have already been defeated, for my weapon and arm have been cut to pieces. You have already overwhelmed me, but nonetheless, with the desire to kill you, I am trying my best to fight. Right? Because he's doing his duties. He's a demon. He's supposed to do these duties. I am not at all morose, even under such adverse conditions. Right? Because Indra still has both arms and his weapons. So while he's lost both arms, therefore he's lost his weapons. Right? No, he's only lost one arm still. Yeah, he lost that other one's later. Therefore, you should give up your moroseness and continue fighting. Srila Prabhupada comments. Vritrasura is so great and powerful that in effect he was acting as the spiritual master of Indra. Although Vritrasura was on the verge of defeat, he was not at all affected. He knew that he was going to be defeated by Indra, and he voluntarily accepted that. But since he was supposed to be Indra's enemy, he tried his best to kill Indra. Thus he performed his duty. One should perform his duty under all circumstances, even though one may know that what the result will be. Right? Even you know it's going to be a problem, you still do that. Right? Yes, he knows that Pandavas have to win. He's a Mahajan. Whatever side Krishna's on, that side wins. But he's on that. He has his duties to perform. He does his best. So he commands the army. He goes out and fights. He does everything to his best. Duryodhana, of course, never thinks it's the best, because Duryodhana's idea is that everything should go the way he whimsically wants it. So even though Bhishma is fighting his best, he always claims that he's not, which is really, really annoying. And so Bhishma tries harder and harder. So basically it comes down to, unless Bhishma gets himself killed in the process of trying to defeat, then Duryodhana will say, okay, he tried his best. Basically, that's it. Once you're dead, then okay, you tried your best. But it's a pretty common material thing.
The Lord was enjoying by being fighting with Bhishma. But still, Bhishma doesn't never get into a category, or in that particular time, he was in a category of being or never.
No. He's doing his duties. It just happens to be the Lord's on the other side. So he performs his duties. He's Kshatriya. It's the same duties. Whether it was the Lord or someone else, he's doing his duties.
I was really happy with Bhishmadev fighting.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it says there in the verses and purport that even though he's shooting with his arrows, then it was, you know, considered nice. Because all that energy is directed at the Lord for his pleasure. The Lord is out there to fight, and so therefore he's responding. You know, that's why Jai and Vijay came as demons. Because they were thinking, the Lord, he's full in all qualities, so all qualities originate in him. And they, as the guards, they, you know, are qualified in fighting, you know, and so they're comfortable with fighting. And so that quality must come from Krishna. And so if it comes from Krishna, that means Krishna wants to fight. But who could fight him? Because he's the greatest, you know. So they were thinking only they may be able to at least give him, you know, some fun. Yeah, because they're Jai and Vijay. They're the, you know, the main guards at the gate. So, you know, they're going to be good. So then they were thinking, you know, it would be nice if we could serve the Lord in this way. That's when the four Kumaras showed up. So in other words, it was fulfilling. He has that desire. Here's devotees who want to fulfill that desire. Therefore, the pastime unfolded. So they became demons, and which Krishna directly fought with. There's so many demons, like the Namuchi and the Nachiketas. No, not Nachiketas. Nivatakavachas, right? Like that. That Arjuna killed, or others killed, or Shiva killed, Tripurasura. But you see, as Jai and Vijay, Krishna himself always personally killed them. Because that was their desire to come and fight with him and you know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thus he performed his duty. One should perform his duty under all circumstances, even though one may know what the result will be. Even if you know that this by performing your duty you will finish, then you still do. Unless it's a matter by adjusting things here, then you'll be able to do that. You'll, you know, put things and you'll be able to, in another way, be able to continue performing that duty. Then you'll do that. But the whole point's about your duty, right? You know, the king will retreat if he thinks by retreating he has an opportunity to win. But he doesn't retreat because he's scared of his life. No, he's willing to die on the battlefield, but he's not foolish. You don't foolishly die, right? You do your best. So by going forward, then, you know, that would be the best. So if there's nothing else, then they go forward themselves. Does that make sense? You know, another, what is it called? Example, same. The three kingdoms. Then there's one general in that, you know, that then when it was understood, there was just him and the whole other army. And they were, what do you call it? You know, they were determined to get him. So rather than sit in this little fort himself, because there was only him and one other guy. And unfortunately, the other guy had, you know, how you say, told the army he was there. So the point is there's no way about it. So he being a he's going down fighting. Right? He could sit inside there and get an extra, you know, half an hour or something. Or he opens the gate, goes out and fights. So the point is we do our duties if we think it's going to work. So, what's this? Yeah. Vritrasura continued, "O my enemy, consider this battle a gambling match in which our lives are the stakes. The arrows are the dice, and the animals acting as carriers are the game board. No one can understand who will be defeated and who will be victorious. It all depends on providence." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti elaborates. This battle is a gambling match. It is impossible for gamblings to give up this game, though they may find faults in it. Right? So gamblers have to gamble. That's their what they do. So they're warriors. They have to fight. You know, because he was saying, oh, I've been defeated, but he's pointing it out. No, it's a gambling match. It could go either way. I'm not saying it's gambling, but he's trying to bring out the point that you can't say because it's up to the Lord. So you just have to do your duty. And then what the results will be, that will be up to the Lord. Verses 18 to 22. Indra responds to Vritrasura's instructions. In verses 18 to 22, Indra, appreciating the degree of devotional characteristics displayed by Vritrasura, praised that sage among the demons, and taking Vritrasura's expert advice, picked up the thunderbolt and again prepared for battle. Sugadeva Goswami said, "Hearing the straightforward instructive words of Vritrasura, King Indra praised him and again took the thunderbolt in his hand. Without bewilderment or duplicity, he then smiled and spoke to Vritrasura as follows." 18. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Indra thought, "Oh, how can a demon have such devotion, knowledge, and detachment?" First, Indra is surprised and had no smile. Then, remembering Prahlad, Bali, and others, he thought, "Bhakti, millions of times greater than ours, is possible even in even the demons." Thus his amazement disappeared. He became joyful and then smiled. Indra said, "O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul and friend of everyone." Srila Prabhupada writes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, "Yam ladva chaparam labdham manyate nadikam tata yasmin stito nadukena guru napi vichalayet. Established in Krishna consciousness, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. Because if you're always thinking about Krishna, right, then you're never going to be distracted. It doesn't matter what the situation around you is, because Krishna is the source of that. Krishna is the internal point of everything that we're dealing with. So therefore, Krishna is the natural, the position, the point to be focused upon in all situations. There's not a matter of something else. We're thinking it's the thing, it keeps changing, but Krishna is what's behind everything. Krishna never changes. Right? He's unchangeable. That's one of his qualities. Therefore, in any situation, one can always be equipoised, because one's always remembering Krishna. That's why you don't become disturbed. Right? We think it's just, you know, you become really stoic so you don't become disturbed by things. No, it's not a matter of that. You're always absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, we're not disturbed by things. An unalloyed devotee is never disturbed by any kind of circumstance, of trying circumstance. Indra was surprised to see that Vritrasura, undisturbed, was fixed in devotional service to the Lord, for such a mentality is impossible for a demon. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can become an exalted devotee. Striyo vaishyas tata shudras, tepi yanti param gatim. An unalloyed devotee is sure to return home, back to Godhead. So no matter what the situation is, one can always be Krishna conscious. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter. Indra continued, "You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee." Srila Prabhupada comments, Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapurusha. The position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu bhaktas smrito daiva asuras tadviparyaya. Vritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee, or Mahapurusha, Naruparusha. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. Right? So position means however we're situated in the material world. This is possible if an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Right. So, therefore, as we said before, it's the devotees. So by associating with devotees, then we can come to that, because that's the point. The unalloyed devotees, they, by giving their situation, I mean, giving their example, their association, then we can come to that same platform. Right? Does that make sense? That's the importance of these books. Because otherwise the tendency is, we'll forget, but the books remind us. So that way we always have the association of the unalloyed devotees. No, the point is that how to preach, because preaching is what you do. It's just a matter of what situation one can be preaching in. So does that mean one's not moving around, one's moving around? That you have to see. But the point is, the preaching is what goes on. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point, because the preaching is the life. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then, even if one is a Kirata, Andhra, Pulinda, or whatever, right, we fall into the, well, here. not everybody. Anyone here in Andhran? Huh? Both. Okay, so here's Andhran's, here's Kirata, and Polinda's...
They left.
Okay. So, therefore, so everybody else fits into, or whatever. He can be purified and elevated to the position of a Mahapaurusha. So, in other words, the 12 tribes, those are a little bit better than the or whatevers. Right? They're the tribes, but they're just a touch above, you know, the or whatevers. So, yes. So that means everybody can be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Right? If we get the association of pure devotees and take their direction. Right? Like that. If we take the direction that works, and we don't take the direction, it does not work. Yes? No? Pretty good. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana.